I'll always remember the smell. It was strong and unpleasant, kind of like farm animal odor mixed with lemon, garlic, and sesame. Top it off with a good helping of body odor, and you get the picture, or at least the smell. To this day, every time I smell any of those smells, and sometimes when I smell all of them together, I think of the census season so long ago. This one was great. I had people coming in from all over the country for the tax census. They were all related in some way, though there were many, I doubt, that knew each other. And I don't think that everyone knew everyone, and maybe they did. They sure fought like they were from the same family. I have dozens of rooms in my inn, and people were fighting. Not just over the rooms. They were fighting over any little bit of space in any of my rooms. Cousins arguing with each other over how many people could actually fit in a little corner of a room. Distant relatives almost coming to blows as they waited in line to see what kinds of space my inn could offer them. And I was raking it in. That smell that was all around me, it meant money. I was getting premium rates for the dusty corners of my rooms. I was getting 5 times my normal rate for 5 people to share half a bed in one of my rooms. I think I made enough on the whole season, the whole little census season, for about 6 months worth of vacations. I still have money left over. And I stayed pretty comfortable, too. My room was very neat, empty, and free of most of the smell that brought in so much cash. After a long day of negotiating and fitting people into rooms, I put up the no vacancy sign and settled in for a relaxing night, dreaming about the vacation I would have after this census season was over. And after a few minutes, there was a knock at my door. "I know that your inn is full, sir, but I wonder if you could help me," I shouted through the closed door. "We're really full. There's not an inch of space left here. You'd better check at another inn." "Yes, we've tried that, but there's no room anywhere else either. And my wife is with child, and I fear that her time is very close. Won't you please help us?" I looked at my empty room. Can you imagine the premium I could get for this place? I could sleep out in a stable for a night or two if it was going to mean the kind of cash this place could bring in.
"We don't have any money, but I'd be willing to work for our board. I'm quite handy with wood. I could fix things up and maybe make some new furniture for you."
"No money?" He said, "No money. Forget it. I'm not giving up my room unless there's a life-changing amount of cash in it for me." "Sorry, sir, I don't have any room at all." A little bit of remorse came over me. I couldn't let a couple about to have a baby stay outside with no shelter at all.
"If you want, you can stay out back with the animals. I'm sure that there's, you know, some place you can keep warm there."
And then they were gone. They said thank you, and they were gone. I never saw them. I never even opened my door. You may have heard what happened later. It was a baby born wrapped in strips of cloth and placed in a manger. Angels singing to shepherds, those same shepherds visiting the baby and his mother and father in my stable. And I can't help but think, what if I'd let them use my room? I missed a golden opportunity. If I'd let them use my room, I'd have been known as the generous innkeeper who gave up his own room so that Jesus would have been born in a safe place. The angels would have sung about my place. The shepherds would have come and visited. And Mary would have thought about the kindness she was shown by a humble innkeeper. I would have made a mint. Imagine the souvenirs. I could have made little trinkets in the shape of my inn. "Birthplace of Jesus," they would say. People would come into my inn to visit the place where he lay, my bed. I could charge the equivalent of a night's boarding just to let them spend a few minutes in here. I could convert my whole place into a museum and never have to work overnights again. But I didn't give up my room. Never even met the couple. Talked to them through a closed door. I'm not the innkeeper who gave up his room for Jesus. I'm the one who sent the family to my stable because I wanted more money. I still remember the smell, but nobody remembers my name. Missed opportunities. In this story, the innkeeper missed an opportunity to get rich because he was too greedy to give up his room to a couple about to have a baby. You know, the birth of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, it isn't about making money, although sure, lots of people make money at Christmas. Maybe they didn't make quite as much this year, but people make lots and lots of money at Christmas time. And the coming of Jesus isn't about giving people fame. And sure, lots of people capitalize on their fame or try to use Christmas to get famous. The coming of Jesus is about God arriving, not with fanfare or accolades, but humbly as a child. It's about the quiet beginnings of an extraordinary child who came to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's about the quiet beginnings of the child who came to remind us of the two most important commandments, to love God and to love everyone. It's about the quiet beginnings of Jesus, who came to give us life abundantly. It's about God arriving, bearing so many names of hope: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's about the birth of our Savior, Jesus. Let's pray. In the quiet places, God, search our hearts. Help us to remember. Help us to celebrate. Help us to go out and to share Jesus' love with all we meet. Amen.